If you would look in your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Timothy, to chapter 1. 1 Timothy, and in chapter 1, and I appreciate all the hymns that go hand in hand with the message this morning. 1 Timothy in chapter 1, reading only one verse of Scripture, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. I hope we're all familiar with it. We should have it in our memories. It is the glorious truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, by divine inspiration, termed it in our text a faithful saying. A faithful saying. Those that are familiar with the Word of God and the writings of the Apostle Paul know that the Scriptures, along with what Paul wrote, and of course that is a part of the Scripture, contains two basic facts that all men, everywhere, at all times, all people are by nature sinners. That's just a biblical fact, that all people are by nature sinners. The second fact is that Christ Jesus is the only Savior of sinners. There is no other means of salvation. There is no other Savior other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we read of in our text. And again, Scripture centers upon these things. Everywhere you go in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to find these facts that people are by nature sinners. And it points you to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we underestimate or undervalue the word sinner and the matter of sin. All systems of theology except that which is based upon the free and sovereign grace of God has a tendency to minimize sin. But the Bible places great emphasis upon sin, and the magnitude of sin is seen in the fact that the only cure was Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, leaving heaven and coming down to this earth to save sinners. No other means of salvation. Again, in our reading, this is a faithful saying. It is a true saying. It is one you can stake eternity upon. This is a faithful saying that sinners need saving. And there's only one Savior, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Among professing Christians, there are those who present the idea that every individual has a right somehow to salvation. I've been told many times by in this building before by some that are no longer here, that I believe everyone has a chance, and everyone ought to have a chance of salvation. Nowhere do you find such thinking as that in the Word of God. No one has a right to it. No one deserves it. And it certainly is not by chance. It is by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And such statements, as I believe everyone ought to have a chance at salvation just magnifies individuals' ignorance of the Word of God and the condition of man by nature. Notice some things in our text, and I'm going to notice some verses just before this. Notice, I'll begin in verse 12 of 1 Timothy 1. Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Notice verse 13, Paul said, "But I obtained mercy." But I obtained mercy. One thing we should all understand about mercy is that mercy is only for the undeserving. You cannot merit or deserve mercy, or it ceases to be mercy. In verse 14, Paul mentions the exceeding abundant grace of our Lord. Grace cannot be deserved, cannot be merited, it cannot be earned. And these two words just point to the matter of the sovereign will of God in saving undeserving sinners. It's always interesting to me to note before our faithful saying in verse 15 that Paul mentions mercy and grace. And Paul said this is a faithful saying. A faithful saying. And just notice that word saying, if you would. Every culture upon this earth, every people, have their own particular and peculiar sayings. We have sayings here in the South that the people in the North have no idea what we're talking about. We have our own particular sayings. Well, so it is among Christians. So it was even in the time of the Apostle Paul. Christians had a saying. The Apostle Paul had a saying. And it was a saying that was so familiar to the saints of God that it was almost like a household saying or a household word. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a saying that is. And I pray that we never lose sight of this saying. Paul said in our text that it was a faithful saying. And then he said it was a worthy saying. And it's worthy of everyone, everywhere, at any time, accepting or believing. There is no reason, nothing in this to hinder anyone from not believing this. This is a saying that is faithful that you can count on. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Focus on the word sinners here if you would. And just try to imagine, and I know we cannot fully understand, the terrible condition that a sinner is in. You cannot think of any worse condition for anyone to be in than being a sinner. Surely just logic would tell us that anyone who needs saving is not in a good condition. It does not matter if it's in the physical realm or in the spiritual. Anyone that needs saving is in trouble. They're in desperate trouble. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's a solemn proclamation. The wages of sin is death. Every sinner, as they live their life here upon this earth, is already under a death sentence. Already. You know, somehow the idea that we live our life here upon this earth as sort of a probation period, and then we get to the judgment one day, and then it's going to be balanced out. Did we do more good or do more bad? And that's going to determine our destiny. I want you to know that is a lie. That is not so. Sinners have already been judged and found guilty. At the judgment, the death sentence will be carried out. But they're already been judged. I'm going to go to John. I've read this many, many times, but we need to never forget it. In John chapter 3 and in verse 18. John chapter 3 and in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Notice the importance of faith, God-given faith. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Then you have that little three-letter word, but. And what a contrast is drawn here between the believer and the unbeliever. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Again, the judgment is not to determine guilt or innocence. That's already been determined. The sentence has already been passed. The unbeliever is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Consider, if the sinner were not condemned, what need would he have of a Savior? It's only the condemned that need a Savior. It's only the condemned that need rescuing. And our text in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 15, the Apostle Paul points us directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying. And it's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a great display of grace. God was under no obligation to send his Son. His Son was under no obligation to come. But it's a matter of grace that God would send his Son. It's a matter of grace that his Son would come into this world for the purpose of saving sinners. Just think of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the Bible tells us that Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. And the scripture tells us, even by the words of Jesus Christ, that no one comes unto the Father but by Him. Without Jesus, there's no other way of salvation. It's amazing at the denial of that statement that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father, no one has salvation, no one will go to heaven, no one will be eternally glorified with the Lord lest they come by Jesus Christ. That is denied over and over and over again. People seem to try everything imaginable to provide salvation for themselves. And they go through periods and stages of reformation. Well, I'm going to do better. Turn over a new leaf. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to clean myself up. I'm going to make myself presentable unto God. But underneath all of their acts of reformation, underneath all of their fig leaf religion, lies a defiled, dead sinner, condemned already. Has not changed his condition, not one bit. Is no better than the Lord did speak to the Pharisees and compared them to whited sepulchers that are clean and pretty on the outside, but inside is nothing but corruption and death. That's the picture of religion and reformation. But people try that over and over again. But the sinner can no more change his condition before God than the leper can change his spot or the Ethiopian the color of his skin. Nothing else works but Jesus. Nothing. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, you and I might think that that should be clear to everyone, but it's not. It's not. I've heard many times that during my lifetime someone make the statement, well, I've made things right between me and God. What a foolish statement. If an individual can make things right between them and God, what need was there for Jesus coming into this world? What need was it? If an individual can possibly make themselves right with God, what need was there for us to be reconciled to God by the death of His Son? No need at all. We can do that. We can do that. If an individual can make themselves right with God, the coming of Jesus Christ into this world, the suffering of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ was very meaningless and one of the most senseless things that's ever happened. If individual sinner can get right with God by themselves, if individual can make things right between them and God, what need is there for Jesus? What need is there for a Savior? We can do it on our own. And that is at the heart and essence of Arminianism and free willism. Man can do it on their own. Let me tell you, it's Jesus Christ. Notice something that I find very interesting in our text in 1 Timothy 1:15. And I think it's very important. And I mentioned to you over and over that I believe in verbal inspiration. I believe that the words were given in the original by the Spirit of God, that it is literally the Word of God. I notice in 1 Timothy 1:15 that there are no adjectives before the noun sinners. It just says sinners. It just says sinners. Plus nothing, just sinners. It does not say reformed sinners. It does not say good sinners. It does not say great sinners. It does not say small sinners. It just says sinners. I'm glad it's that way. I'm very glad it's that way. It does not say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save repentant sinners. It does not say he came into the world to save believing sinners. It does not say he came into the world to save praying sinners. It does not say he came into the world to save sinners that were already seeking him. It just says he came into the world to save sinners. And I'll say again, I'm glad it's that way. No sinner upon this earth has to wonder, am I qualified for this? Have I gone too far? Have I done too much sin? Have I done too great a sin? Well, Paul said he's already saved the chief. Chief of sinners. And to me that means if you were to somehow, it's impossible, but if you were to somehow rank sinners, Paul said, I rank number one. Now if he's already saved the number one sinner, I think it ought to give hope to all sinners. And again, I'm thankful that there is no adjectives before this word sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, period. That is a glorious fact. Go with me to the book of Luke in chapter 5, if you would. As you turn there, just consider this. Sinners are the only ones who need saving. No one else needs salvation. No one else needs rescuing other than sinners. In Luke in chapter 5, in verse 31, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now again, there's just logic here. Not only a scriptural truth, it's just logic. They that be whole need not a physician. Well, who needs one? Well, it's people that's got physical problems. They're the ones that need it. In like manner, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but he said, but sinners to repentance. Sinners. Sinners. While you're in Luke, go with me to chapter 19. In Luke in chapter 19, we have another word that's used here for sinners. He came to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. In Luke chapter 19 and in verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. The word lost is another word for sinners. He came to seek them and to save lost. We use that word lost sometimes kind of offhandedly and casually. It's a very serious word. It's translated from a word which means to destroy. Those who are spiritually lost are on their way to destruction. on their way to destruction. If there were no lost, if there were no sinners, there would be no need for a Savior. But the very fact that there is a Savior is proof that there are sinners, that there are those who are lost, that there are individuals who need saving. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If an individual can convince themselves that they are not sinners, if they can really convince themselves of that, then they have just convinced themselves that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to save them. They've just eliminated themselves from the matter of salvation. If you're not a sinner by nature, then you have absolutely no need for Jesus' saving work. If you're not a sinner by nature, you do not need blood redemption, you do not need regeneration, you do not need the forgiveness of sins. You do not need to be justified before God. Forgiveness is only for the guilty. If an individual can convince themselves that they are not sinners, you might say, well, surely no one would try that. Remember the Pharisees in Jesus' time, and there are still Pharisees in the world today who think they are good, they've kept the law, they're morally right, they're living good lives, well respected. Don't call me a sinner. If anyone has that attitude, then they don't need a Savior. They don't need forgiveness of sin. But if an individual knows in their very heart and soul that they are a lost sinner in need of a Savior, this faithful saying in 1 Timothy 1:15 is good news to them. It's only good news to sinners who have been made aware of their sin. And let me say this. Turn with me to Philippians in chapter 1, if you would. If an individual really knows in their very heart and soul that they are a sinner, they can be assured God is working in their lives. Philippians in chapter 1 and in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you are convinced that you are a sinner, deserving of condemnation and the fire of hell, it is evidence, it is proof positive, God has begun a good work in you. He's already made you aware of your sinful condition. You'll no longer think, well, I'm a good person. No, you'll be convinced you're one of the worst that ever has lived. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. Just think of that word, a sinner. A lost, depraved sinner. One of the first evidences that you are one of God's elect is that the Spirit of God quickens you and makes you aware of your sinful condition. You know that it's not just a word, sinner. It's your nature. It's your nature. even your sin itself. If you know that, God has begun a good work in you. And He's not going to stop. He's going to continue this work unto the day of Jesus Christ. I was brought up under a system of religion that would tell you that the Holy Spirit of God would convict you and make you aware of your sins, but if you could just grab that pew and hang on till just as I am was over with and get out the door, you'd be all right. That wouldn't bother you anymore. And you could go on and on your way to hell. Let me tell you, if the Spirit of God convicts you, God has begun a good work and He's not going to let up. He's not going to quit. He's going to complete what He starts. Just like that good shepherd going after that lost sheep. He's going to look for it until he finds it. But what's he going to do next? Just leave it where it was. Give it directions back to the barn or to the flock. No, he's going to pick it up, put it on his shoulder, and carry it home. The one that begins a good work in looking for that lost will find it and bring it home. Our text says, this is a faithful saying. You won't find a more faithful saying anywhere in the world than this. This is a faithful saying. This is gospel. It is good news for those who know they are sinners. You can be confident that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul wrote it many years ago. It is still a faithful saying. It is still a faithful saying. It has not grown old. It is not outdated. It is still fresh. It is still new. It is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. And the promise of God's word is still true. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.